You're listening to 90.3 Near FM. It's Northside today. Johnny Holmes here, and that was Paul McCartney with Michael Jackson, of course. Say, say, say. Now, the Reducing Harm Supporting Recovery strategy 2017 to 2025. It's designed to be a health-led response to drug and alcohol addiction, and local drug task forces are meant to be the key partners in decision making under this strategy. But current and former ministers, they have now said that the partnership is in danger of collapse. I'm now joined by Senator Eoin O'Riordan from Labour Party to tell us more about it. Good afternoon, Eoin, and thanks for joining us.
How you doing? How are you?
Yes, very well. How are you keeping?
Good, good, yeah. Trying to keep warm. It's pretty cold out there.
Yeah, as I said earlier, we're all in the right place at the moment, indoors. First of all, Eoin, tell us, why is it important for drug problems to be tackled at a local level, in your opinion?
Well, I suppose the reason that the nine former drug ministers came together a number of weeks ago to make the statement is because the whole point of the partnership approach to the National Drug Strategy was to, I suppose, a recognition that the communities know what's happening in their own area best. And that rather than having a strategy which was based primarily from the Department of Education or the Department of Health or the Department of Justice speaking down to communities, was that the local drugs task forces would be established, that they would meet at a local level to discuss and discover what was happening. You know, the strains, the intimidation, the type of drugs that were being used, the fashions that were changing, which happens in the drug area a lot, and that would filter right up to the policymakers. And what's happened is that there is a sense that the local drug task forces aren't getting the support that they need. Some of the statutory agencies are not attending, so some of them can be very poor attenders, which means that those who are attending the meetings feel that they're not being listened to, and that there's a centralisation of the policy making in the HSE and the Department of Health. So it's kind of a top-down approach as opposed to a bottom-up approach. And that means that communities feel as if you know, what they're going through isn't being listened to, isn't being acknowledged. You know, issues that are changing, such as drug debt and drug intimidation, that they would know an awful lot about, that knowledge is not being fed up to the HSE. And then, therefore, the HSE or government departments are not reacting the same way as they should do. So that's the problem. And it is, I've never come across before that every single former minister in a particular area has come together to sign a statement saying that government needs to change the way that it's operating. And that's what happens. We had all nine of us, I'm one of them, signed this declaration saying that the government needed to change its tack, and seven of us appeared at the press conference there 2 weeks ago to make that point as well. And it was quite strong, from Chris Flood to myself, Alex White, Pat Rabbit, John Curran. We were all there, Pat Carey, all there to say the same thing. And we're not trying to be party political about it. We're not trying to, you know, make people feel uncomfortable. But we're trying to make them realize that if you don't involve in the community, if you're not listening to the community, well then, you know, it's just going to fail.
Well, it's said that addicts need to be respected. What exactly does that mean?
It means that you don't view somebody as being the problem. I think when you have any situation, there has to be a level of respect. And if you go by the mantra "nothing about us without us," then you have a better chance of success. You can't have a discussion about young people without listening to young people. You can't have a discussion about about alcohol without talking to people who have been affected by it, gambling, similar. And you can't talk about drug addiction without listening to those who are addicted. And also, if you view people who have a drug addiction as being human and entitled to their dignity, well, then that changes the way that you approach things. We do things in Ireland and have done until recently that other European countries have gotten rid of a long time ago. This idea of urine testing, you know, has been done away with in a lot of European countries because there's other ways of doing it, which is simple. Take a swab from inside your mouth and that can find out all the information you need. There's something particularly humiliating about a urine test. if you understand where an addict is coming from or somebody in recovery is coming from, even using that phrase, actually, somebody in recovery rather than somebody in addiction, the fact that they have to travel from somewhere in the Midlands to Dublin every day to get their methadone, the fact that they would like to be, talk about the lack of resources that they have without being called names. The word junkie is a disgusting word, but it's a word that is used on the TV, radio and the newspapers all the time. But we don't use, dehumanizing terminology about any other vulnerable group. So that's what we're trying to do here, is to change the way that society and that government views people in recovery, that they're not subhuman, that they're not, at the bottom end of the priority list, that they're, it's not their fault. Entirely, and for the reasons why they have succumbed to addiction. We have to understand the nature of addiction, because a huge amount of it is pain relief. You've got pain in your life, you've got trauma in your life, you're going to turn to something to make you feel better that's going to dampen the pain. And a huge disproportionate number of people who are in addiction services or trying to recover have had trauma in their lives from their childhood, suffer from issues of social deprivation or economic disadvantage. There's a disproportionate number of people who have disabilities who have addiction issues, disproportionate number of travellers, disproportionate number of migrants, disproportionate number of LGBT people, because it's about disconnection and about pain and the trauma of that disconnection that leads people into addiction. So if we just blame the people for getting addicted in the first place and say it's their own fault, well, then we're not really going to get anywhere. But I think a community would understand that better than maybe a HSE official or somebody like me. And that's why the community link is absolutely vital.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, actually. Do you feel that addicts can be fully rehabilitated from drugs?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. But you see, I think there's a class issue here as well. There's any amount of middle-class people who take drugs every weekend and lead supposedly respectable lives, families, and they hold down jobs and they do whatever they do at the weekend. There's people in politics who have taken drugs, there's people in media who have taken drugs, there's people in the guards who have taken drugs, and they've left it behind them or they've continued with it, but it doesn't command or take over their lives. But there are people in a disadvantaged situation where it does take over your life because there's more pain that you need to deal with. And we have a very different view of somebody who dies, let's say a student who dies after an overdose of a pill at a party. We have a very different view of that middle-class student in media circles than we do of somebody who dies from a heroin overdose. And I know that when I was drug minister, I used to get, there was a situation where somebody died from an overdose of a pill, a middle-class person, and there was a huge big splash on this person in the media, and the life that person could have led, and the stolen future, and all the friends are very upset. But then you hear a story of somebody who's died in a playground or a toilet from a heroin overdose, and it's as if, they just weren't worth the media coverage because they weren't worth as much as a person. And I found that very disturbing because we got these reports all the time. Conley Station, at the very same time as the 1916 commemorations were happening, a guy was found in the toilets dead from a heroin overdose. Didn't make the news. So there's a class issue here as well as to what we think is acceptable drug use. Might be cocaine, might be cannabis, and what we view to be unacceptable drug use, and that comes down to class.
Okay, if you don't mind me asking, what's your view on having drugs like cannabis, having it legalised?
I'm still to be convinced, to be honest with you. I know a lot of states in America have done it, and cannabis is very different now than it was 20 years ago. I do believe that every single drug needs to be decriminalised on the basis that the people who are taking drugs don't need to be dealing with guards and don't need to be dealing with court services and don't need to be dealing, in the criminal justice system. They need to be dealing with in the health system. So I think we need to decriminalize the people who take drugs. So if you have a drug problem, if you have a drug habit, if you have drug addiction, I don't think you need to be talking to a guard about it. I think you need to be talking to a doctor about it. And that's And that's what they've done in Portugal. In Portugal, what they've done is they've decided that it's absolutely, completely and totally a health issue. So if it's discovered that you have drugs on your person for personal use, if it's discovered that you have an addiction, you don't end up in court because you're in possession of something that's illegal. You end up in front of a counsellor, you end up in front of a doctor and a nurse. And what they've done over 15 years, they've managed to reduce the number of people in drug recovery services by half, and they've reduced the number of people who are dying by overdoses by three quarters. Because people get help. They don't get a criminal sanction. They don't get a custodial sentence. They don't get a criminal record. If you get a criminal record early in your life for taking drugs and you're of a disadvantaged background, you're probably more likely to get further involved in it and maybe get involved in gang culture than if you get help and somebody treats you like a human being. We've got the third highest overdose rate in Europe. People are dying all the time in Dublin from drug overdoses because we treat them like criminals if you have an addiction. And I don't know what you think, but if somebody close to me had a serious addiction problem, I don't really think a courtroom is where they belong. I think they belong in somewhere that's going to treat them as a human being and keep them out of the criminal justice system and put them on a road to recovery. So I'd know about the individual substance, about cannabis. I don't want to get really involved about in a debate about how good cannabis can be for you or not be for you. I certainly think if somebody's addicted to something, it's better that they're given it than if they go off and try and rob a house in order to get the money to pay for it from a drug dealer. If I know somebody in my life is chronically addicted to heroin, it might be a better sense for a medical intervention there for somebody to say, look, here's something that you can take that is rather than you destroying your life and destroying your family and mugging an old person to get money off them. You know what I mean? But certainly, I think having the entire system in the health system rather than the criminal justice system is the way to go. And I think an awful lot more politicians are coming to that point of view as well.
Okay. Would you agree that drug-related harm is worse in the disadvantaged communities that have insufficient resources to deal with all that kind of stuff?
Well, I think the nature of pain is different in disadvantaged communities. I think the nature of hurt, nature of trauma is different in disadvantaged communities. I think the nature of disconnection is different. I think if you open your mouth and people hear your accents and begin to think that you're lesser, that hurts. I think if you have an address that people don't give the same respect, that hurts. I think if you're an early school leaver or you don't have access to resources that maybe other communities have, that hurts. So it's not just a disadvantaged community issue in terms of drug taking. Any amount of middle class areas, any amount of rural communities have a huge amount of drug taking going on. But it's the effect that it has on you. Because if you're trying to dampen down that pain, if you're trying to take something that makes you feel better, then it's going to have more acute issue in a disadvantaged area. Also, drug gangs, they offer people a lifestyle which is quite lucrative, Yeah, it's easy money. You don't need a qualification to get involved in it. There's a bit of edge to it, a bit of excitement about it. You might even get a gun. You certainly get a lot of Spanish holidays and a flash card out of it. And that can be attractive to somebody who feels a bit, a bit disconnected. And that's the challenge we have. If you're a 15, 16-year-old person and education's not working out for you, and you don't feel you get respect from society, and people call you names, and they assume that you're lesser than anybody else because of the accent you have or the area that you're from, and then somebody comes into your life and says, "Look, get involved in this, and it's lucrative." It can be not a hard choice to make, and that's the challenge we have. That people live in communities and they see the guy who's involved in drugs and he seems to be having a great time. He seems to be having an awful lot of money. He seems to be driving a nice car. He seems to have a lot of time abroad. And challenging that from a community perspective is quite difficult because it seems to be so lucrative and it seems to be so attractive. But that kind of knowledge only comes from the community and the drugs task forces who see this in a local level, who understand what young people are looking at and what they're attracted to, and feeding that back up. Drug debt's a huge issue. People come into doors with guns saying, "Your young fella owes me 5,000 quid. And this happens. I've met these parents, and you know, their son would then admit to have gotten involved in a small amount of drug taking. It might be cannabis, then they get a bit of drug debt. It might be 200 quid, 300 quid, then it's doubled. It's 600, and then it's 1,000, and then it's 2,000, and it happens over just a few weeks. And all of a sudden, they owe 5,000 quid. And, you know, I spoke to one woman, she said, what would you do? Do I go to the guards or do I go to the credit union? And what would you do? Guy comes to your door with a gun. Do you go to the guards or do you go to the credit union? And she went to the credit union. And I couldn't tell her she was wrong. But that story and that tale is being replicated right across Dublin. It's happening under the radar because nobody wants to admit to it. Because there's a level of shame attached to it. But, you know, policymakers in the department, or the HSC, or in government, or in the Oireachtas, are not going to understand that unless they're sitting around a table with somebody who has heard that story firsthand. And that's what drug task forces do.
Yeah, it all sounds very scary, but also very sad as well. Very difficult situation altogether. Eoin, would there be a need for reinvestment in resources, you know, in this
strategy? Well, there always is. I mean, yeah. I also think society has to change the way it feels about drugs. Community hears that there's going to be a drug rehabilitation centre in their area. There can be resistance to that. But it is your own sons and daughters are going to benefit from it. There can be a lack of sympathy for people who are in drug treatment. And, you know, we have to change the way we view that. It'll always be politically better to put money into an A&E than into a drug rehabilitation centre. You'll get probably more votes for that. I think people who are affected by drugs need to speak louder about it. My child has a drug issue, my brother has a drug issue, my father has a drug issue, I'm not ashamed of it, and I'm demanding resources for it. The shame thing, the stigma thing, is really hurting and a capacity to get resources for it, because it'll always be easier to get money for other things in the health sphere, because there's perception that it's your own fault, so live with it. And that's the biggest problem when it comes to getting resources. That politically, it's easier to advocate for something that affects maybe a different cohort of people, older people or children with special education needs, or you know, I'm advocating for kids who have diagnoses of autism, particularly in the Raheny Dunamead area, and they can't get resources. They shouldn't feel that they're in competition with another group who also needs resources, but. I think society in general might have an awful lot more sympathy for a child who has an autism diagnosis than for maybe a young man who has a drug problem. But we shouldn't feel that sympathetic. We shouldn't feel that one person deserves more than the other. And we have to be a bit stronger and more understanding collectively as a society, as a community, because then politics will react to that. If we keep saying that people with drug issues, it's their own fault, well, then we're going to still have the third highest overdose rate in Europe. It might even get worse. And then somebody close to us in our own family will have an addiction. And then we'll have to ask ourselves, what did I do when I had the opportunity to vote for somebody who was advocating for more resources and I didn't do it? So, it is about politics and it is about resources, but it's also about how society views people in drug addiction. And we can't keep calling them names. Can't keep calling them junkie. We have to start looking at the person, the human being, and demands that they get the resources that they need. I was just yesterday in Rasp and Coolock, and you know, they're undergoing a review from the Department of Education at the moment. Every year they seem to be having to justify their existence. The work they do is absolutely incredible. You go to there are various different award ceremonies that they have every year, and you see these people who have completely turned their lives around and gone through processes that I don't think I'd have the bravery to go through. So, you know, all of us need to support, initiatives like that, because all of us could be affected by it. And if we're honest, I think every single one of us has addiction in our family somewhere. It's just some people can hide it better than others, you know.
And after all, at the end of the day, it's an illness, you know. So we're going to leave it at that, Eoin. And
okay,
thanks
fine.
Again for joining us today.
Anytime.
And always a pleasure talking with you, and all the very best. And take care.
Talk to you soon.
Cheers. All the best. Now, that was Eoin O'Riordan from Labour Party. He was talking about how the National Drugs Strategy Community Partnership is in danger of collapse.